my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Jesse.
My name's Jesse. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. And at least to start with how my life began, I had spoke to my mother many times about, you know, about the drinking. And even when I was born, I was the first of six children, and she said she was drinking the day I was born, so I already had it in my system. So it's amazing how alcoholic history affects my life. And I grew up in the Bay Area, where I did most of my drinking in Mountain View, California, in Santa Clara County. And it was interesting to know and not know that drinking was a great part of my life at the time, because my family used to have a lot of family gatherings, and alcohol was a part of it in like birthdays and weddings and gatherings and barbecues. And so I had a lot of relatives that joined in the drinking celebration of each other in that period, and it continued for a long time. In my teenage years, my father worked in Palo Alto, and he had a side job as a tree landscaper, and we helped a lot, me and my brothers, and I had three brothers and two sisters, and we worked with him, and somehow for our good works, he'd buy me and my brother a quart of beer, you know. So I started early, you know. My father allowed it to happen, and my friends liked going to my house because my dad allowed us to drink, you know. And so it was a start from there, and apparently it's even when I had a little scooter when I was 15, you know, we used to cut school and go drinking at somebody's house, and so it was interesting how it started, you know, the drinking with others, and how alcohol took effect and being a part of my life. And as it went along, that's the group I hung around with in school, because I stayed in the same town. So it was interesting to see, find a lot of friends that joined in the experience of drinking, and as well as other drugs that came up. But my primary drug of choice was alcohol. And it caused me to sort of stay back from high school. I had to go another 6 months to get my diploma, which I finally did, and then went to junior college. And then there was more drinking in junior college. And it's amazing how that happened. But I didn't think, I thought it was just part of, you know, I didn't know what sobriety was, because it was pretty much, I had friends that drank, relatives that drank, and it was all a connection there. Even though at that time I got in a few car wrecks, I didn't think of how that alcohol was to blame for most of them, which it was. And I was fortunate to survive a few accidents. When I was ready to go to college, I was going to junior college, and at the time I had opportunities. It's amazing how opportunities happen that weren't realized how important they were to change my direction in life. And when I went to junior college and I was ready to transfer to another college, I had the opportunities to go to one nearby in the Bay Area, which was Stanford, which was amazing. I look back on it, my life could have changed a lot. But I ended up going to a far college up in Sacramento, near Sacramento, at UC Davis, which I went for a couple of years. And I ended up connecting with people and drinking. So my thoughts of moving away from a situation that I thought was causing a problem, I ended up going. It's like wherever one goes. And it's amazing how I look back now from what I've learned if we don't change, nothing changes. And apparently my life was continuing on that road of alcoholism, and to see like I was, well, currently I'm living in up at the Tule River Indian Reservation. I've been there about 16 years, but my grandfather lived up there, and we used to go up there constantly from my memories, and it was interesting to see that alcohol took its toll up on the reservation, finding a lot of relatives every time we visit that had died from this disease. And it's amazing how I didn't really think of it when we go to the we used to visit from the Bay Area to the reservation. We used to always stop in Los Banos, and I always just saw my parents stop at a liquor store to get they stop in San Jose to buy some liquor to get them to Los Banos, and then when I got old enough to drive, I continued the experience, which was, I look back and I say, well, you know, what was the, you know, that was interesting how that took effect. And you know, I see how it affected my life with family and friends, and then even through college. And even when I went to UC Davis, I moved into a house and ended up moving in with, or he actually moved in with his girlfriend, who were the main supplier of drugs, and it was interesting how that happened too. But even when I stayed in the dorms, in the first, because that first 3 months I stayed in the dorms at college, and I was old, I was already old, I was 25, and you know, all these people that were, I was sort of a bad influence because I was the oldest one to go to, at that time the liquor store was like 5 miles from town, it wasn't allowed any closer, so somehow I was a designated delivery of alcohol going to there, and I bring a big case of the mixed alcohol, and which it, I have mine, and as well as I distribute the ones that had had chipped into to for the alcohol. But it got, you know, that worked for like 3 months, and I was having problems with the dorms, and I ended up moving in the house. And like I said, I moved in. I had a friend that ended up living close to where I used to live in the Bay Area, and we used to share rides, and he was an alcoholic as well as a drug addict and supplier of the drugs and for that area, which was, I don't know, the insanity I thought at that time continued. And then I ended up working at some organizations in Sacramento. I worked at the Sacramento Indian Center, and I was a social worker. But like the people I worked with were also alcoholics, so usually after work and weekends, alcohol was involved, and it continued. And then I ended up moving to San Jose, and I ended up being like a youth director, and then everybody at that Indian Center drank, so there continued the experience again. And like they used to have Indian bars in San Jose, and I used to go to the bars a lot, and I always know that, and I don't even know, sometimes I didn't even know how I got home. So I was fortunate that I survived to this point in all the drinking that I did. And I knew there was that I had to look at it eventually. So when I moved to Fresno for a while, and then I was working at Indian Center there working for a program, and I drank with the director, and the drinking was still a major part of my life, and even though I had no way of knowing how to stop, I just continued on. And then I went to LA, and then things, I was looking for work and I couldn't find work, so I ended up back in the Bay Area in San Jose. And then I moved to Santa Rosa, that's in Sonoma County, it's amazing how I had three more years of, this was like 1980 already, and I had friends that drank, but not as, I was being criticized for my drinking, but I didn't know how to stop, you know. It was sad that I had these great friends that were there that allowed me to stay at their house, and the, you know, the drinking was causing problems. And then I ended up moving into a friend's place that I lived in a barn, in fact, for a couple of years, and then I worked at a winery, because I was in Sonoma County, so there was a winery nearby that had a tasting room, which somehow I look back and I don't know how they allowed me, and I had another friend in crime that drank at the tasting room almost every day, and you know, and then the wine was 50% off, and so you know I got to the tasting room as well as I took you know, the discounted wine at home, and one time I took a case of wine for Christmas to my parents up in Corning up north, and I thought, oh, this will last for a few weeks. We drank it the whole weekend, you know, so that wasn't a good idea. You know, it's just like drinking as much as, like I said, I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop. Even going to the bars, I tell myself, okay, one more time, and then we'll take another one and another one, and I don't even know how I got home some of the times. Eventually I was going to be kicked out from the barn that I was living in, and it was going to, my friend that I knew like since second grade was already commenting that I had to find another place, and at the same time, things how they worked out, they were gone for the Memorial weekend. And I had stopped for a week before then because I said, I got to stop. I got to see if I can do it. And I prayed about it, you know, like my friends had beer in the refrigerator, but I didn't touch it. I just said, well, just do other things, watch TV, and just stay around the house. And then the following weekend, I attended my first AA meeting. And that was in May of, it was Memorial Weekend of 1985. And it was amazing how backing up a little bit, like December, I had gone once, after the wine season had finished, I had gone to one meeting, but it got overwhelming to seeing this meeting that everybody says, keep coming back, keep coming to meetings and get yourself, you know, it was just so much that I couldn't get at that time, so it took another like 5 months to really be committed to this program. Like I said, a week after Memorial Weekend, I attended committed myself to coming to a meeting, and fortunately, something clicked. I don't know what it was, but I. Because at that time I didn't have any friends, I was going to be out of a place, and then I was out of work, so I had a lot of things that weren't happening for me. And then that same week that I started attending the meetings, I got two jobs, and then I ended up moving out of the barn, ended up buying a tent and living in a nearby campground. So, you know, things just, you know, I just, like the people I had talked to in the program, I just said, just go with the changes, you know, if it's all good and you talked about it and it seems like the right direction to pursue, just do it. So apparently that's what had happened. I had gone to a camping place and bought a tent, and at that time I didn't realize how the emblem, the camel, would affect my life, because that was a little logo on the tent, which I haven't seen one since, but it's amazing how the camel has a significant symbol for an Alcoholics Anonymous. And I stayed like 3 months in a campground, and I had fortunately I had a car, and I had a 57 Ford station wagon, which I wish I still had, but it got me everywhere. It ran all that time, and I went to a lot of meetings, and for unfortunately, even where I worked at a big mortgage company, because I had, it's amazing how much energy I had when I started going to meetings and trying to make this program work. I had a job that was enabled me to put out that energy, like working, painting and putting lights and panel boards for this big company. And I ended up working there for 6 years, because I ended up working for the maintenance and then in the mail room and then into a computer and then a janitor and then at the last part, position I had was working in the computer room. But this place, they like to celebrate a lot, so they had a lot of indoor parties, and so it was amazing how it was a big company and amazing, like a lot of the people that worked there were in the program as well. So that sort of helped me in my program and understanding what sobriety was, and even one guy that I met there that had a 2-year chip, and I was amazed. I said, I don't know, I have 2 months, and you hear you have 2 years, and I don't know. But you know, they say one day at a time, and just take it, keep it simple, on all these other things that I've learned in the process, and so I learned how to just drink sodas and drink water, and learn how to dance without not realizing I didn't need to drink in order to be happy and enjoy the moments and the entertainment. It amazed my friends that I had stopped drinking, because I know that 4th of July, the following month, they had a big gathering, and I have a lot of like biker friends that I grew up with in high school, and they all showed up. I've known these guys from, you know, like 10, 15 years, and I was a designated driver to go get the alcohol for this party, because I told them I don't drink, so that's fine. You could be the driver and get us our supply. And it's amazing how much Diet Coke I drank that weekend, you know. And so I could imagine how, if I was drinking, how much alcohol I would have drank as much as the Diet Coke I drank at that weekend. So it's, but I was still committed to this program, and I went to meetings. I went more than 90 meetings, 90 days, because I worked a swing shift, so it allowed me during the day to attend meetings in the morning and at noon, and then weekends to other times of the day to meetings. And I found at least getting a sponsor and understanding what this whole process was about, and then the steps, being introduced to the steps and service, and just being committed and following through and doing the footwork, as they say, and guiding me to a place I hadn't known before. You know, I had didn't know where I was going to go, but I knew I was better off where I was and what I was doing, and committing myself to this program, and I knowing that a lot of other people were involved as well. It was just like we were all in the same journey, and there was a lot of people that I felt bad that they somehow couldn't catch on to it, and some even died, but I still stuck with it and had a lot of good friends, which was a great support in my continuing on with being sober and clean, because they said, you got to stop everything, and so which I did, and luckily I was healthy and got through those times. I had a lot of sponsors, but I just couldn't get out of the step four for a long time. But I continued on with other things, and other people would get upset with me, and like even when I first started, I wouldn't talk. And after a few months, you know, they cornered me and said, "Start talking. It's part of the healing, and it's part of the process." And so I ended up speaking in meetings more than I had done before, and doing more than I had done before. So meetings, I got to learn a lot through how everybody else was utilizing this program to their best of their abilities, as well as myself committed to what I needed to do. And I felt at least happy, and my like I went to a psychic one time, and they said, oh, it looks like your body's really relying on whatever you're doing, because it has you know, the green aura and stuff. I said, well, good. And I'm doing something in a good way. So I continued on, and so, you know, after 6 years of working at the same place, I decided I wanted to move to Sacramento. So but like any decision I had made at that time was always with talking to a sponsor, talking to somebody in the program to just bounce it back on what, if that was the right direction to pursue, which, and most of the time it was, and which ended up in Sacramento, and ended up working at the Sacramento Medical Clinic for about 8 years, and then working there, I got to see a lot of people and work with a lot of people that are in the program. So it's amazing how this program's population was everywhere. And I still came back to Santa Rosa and went to the same meetings and connected with the people that I still kept in touch with. And in Sacramento, they had a lot of meetings there. So, and then I worked a night shift, so it gives me a lot of time during the day and the weekends to attend meetings. So it was amazing how that worked from there. And then I worked, and then I moved. My mother wanted me to move back to the Tule River Indian Reservation where she lived for a couple of years, and she said, just get a place up here. You get a, you know, she had like 5 acres, and I got a trailer and I moved there, and I realized there was the AA program continues over there. They had a Alano Club at that time. They don't have it now, but they had one at that time. And eventually, through some other jobs, I ended up working at it's really rare that they have any place has a recovery rehab on a reservation, and Tule River has one, and they've had it for like 30 years or 40 years. And I worked there for 8 years, and it sort of got me more involved with my the process of alcoholism in my life as well as other people's lives. So I was a drug and alcohol counselor for that time, and so I enjoyed it. And plus, driving the clients there. There was like 8 native residential men there that would stay to up to 6 months, and then because there was a lot of variety, I'd take them to meetings and to cultural events, and they had a sweat lodge there that they'd have like 2 sweat events each week. So there was a lot of activity, and when I wasn't working, I'd be at a meeting. So I didn't know. I still reflect on it near my birthday in May, that I was didn't know where I was going, but I know that I was better off than I was before. So the journey continued, and then it came time to where I was 62. I'm 65 now, so it's been when I quit and retired, which allowed me to go to more meetings and just spend more. I don't know. Somehow the time just gets filled. Well, I didn't think I was going to have enough time in my life to do anything other than work and go to meetings. So it was interesting that I stopped work and went to a lot of meetings, which I stopped pretty much because I had diabetes, and it got I don't know if it was into neuropathy. It got a little bad from the stress there, because it was stressful working there, but I still hung in there with the job. So that they always say you have to be vigilant for this program, as well as for myself. I had to be vigilant that I had diabetes, and I had to give myself insulin shots and take a lot of pills and just to survive. And it's amazing when I moved there in 2000 that I was diagnosed. But I kept on with my program and kept busy, and that's been large part of my journey. It's just keeping busy and keeping in contact with people that I knew in Sacramento and Santa Rosa, and new friends I met in Porterville. And still amazed that somehow time just been passing by so fast. And then working with others, and then still doing service work. And then just keeping busy, and that's why we stress. I still work with they have meetings on the reservation on Sundays and Tuesdays, and then one outside Thursdays, and then I try to go to most of them so I could at least share with the Native community there that they can do it, and they have to know some tools, and like they say, this is an allergy, this is something you want to stop, and it doesn't stop, and get you in trouble, and overwhelming mind that wants to go somewhere else other than keeping focus. And like I've learned, they say focus and do the footwork and have faith in a daily basis, and things get done. It's been amazing, like when they say don't leave till a miracle happens. I've seen a lot of miracles in my life as well as in other people in the program, and I share that because I never knew that it would unfold in the way it has in my life as I share with others in guiding them into knowing there is more to the suffering that one has, and one could improve in being a new and improved person, but they have to do the work. And I've been fortunate that I've been committed to this program as I always will. Because things happen in life, like say, person, places, and things. When I was 2 years sober, my dad died and a brother died of this disease. And then I think 10 years later, I had a stepfather die of my younger brother died of this disease. And just recently, 2 months ago, I had lost my mother, who was a great friend of mine, and I was glad that I was sober to experience the friendship I had in the 16 years that I was up there and on the reservation. And it's been interesting with even other relatives, and I have another relative, cousins that have gotten involved and been successful. And it's amazing how that works, and how this program is allowed to work in one's life if they allow it to happen. And I feel fortunate, and just it's the same month my mother died too. I got diagnosed with prostate cancer, which was like, my mother went through four cancers. She went through her breast cancer, her thyroid cancer, and a couple other cancers, and I guess it was my turn. But I just got diagnosed, so that doesn't mean that I have it, but I had to go through some biopsy last week, so I'll know next week what the turnout will be. But still, I have to work this program in all of my affairs, and which I'm doing now, so it's probably just part of the process of being positive and the path that each day brings to experience. And back to the steps again. I did when I did the fourth step, I ended up in Sacramento and doing it once, and then 6 years later I did the steps again to acknowledge and to assist my journey and to understanding my life and utilizing these tools and again doing service work and allowing myself to reach out to the newcomer and to people in the program, and to allow and just to be a part of this program has been an amazing journey. And I hope everybody gets blessed with following the steps here, and not be afraid, and just focus and have faith and do the footwork. And they say it's trusting God, clean house, and help others. And helping others has been a major focus on establishing my journey and helping others, because when you get out of yourself, you pretty much are successful in establishing yourself with other people. And and that's a part of this program. It's reaching out, and when everybody reaches out, I think it's I'm responsible, and you hear that constantly. Like we're, like they say, we're human. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and we're, and this is a fellowship of the spirit, and so that didn't become such a an item to understand till just recently, because I hear this over and over, because I know I have a learning disability, and I hear these things over and over again. It took me all this time to really focus on what this program's actually focused on helping others and being successful and helping yourself. So the more you reach out to other people, the more people reach out to you, and it's been an amazing program for me to share that with people, to share and listen and share, and that everybody allow themselves to be successful, and giving them a chance and sharing with other people. Do not isolate yourself, and just reach out with another person to get us a good support group, and do the steps, and it's just a small amount of time to invest in to become a better and improved person, as well as just making one's life better. You know, it's before it was just more haphazard, bumping into walls and more cars bumping into walls. But you know, other than that, just establish myself in something that's successful and works and it's nurturing and it's it helps me as well as helps others. And so I hope that each one of you gets blessed with understanding the route that to be successful and happy and be blessed that you're still here, and that there's tools and there's directions to follow to allow yourself to be yourself and to help others. And that's pretty much what I'm tired to say anymore. But anyway, thank you very much.